Last week, a federal judge in California overturned a Trump administration decision to remove gray wolves from the list of endangered species. This newest ruling means Wisconsin is no longer allowed to hold a gray wolf hunt. The state held a hunt a year ago. Another hunt scheduled for last fall was postponed under a court injunction. We're learning more about what the ruling means for hunters, farmers, and the gray wolf population in the state. Peter David is a wildlife biologist for the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission. Peter, welcome back to Central Time.
It's a pleasure to be here, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Another in a long line of court rulings and federal decisions. Peter, what were the reasons this judge in California gave saying, yeah, we need to restore these federal protections for gray wolves?
Well, you know, there are really a number of different reasons that he considered. But the biggest one seemed to be that it really didn't seem to consider the threats to wolves outside of the Great Lakes in the Northern Rockies. And it didn't really address language in the Endangered Species Act about the loss of significant portions of the historic range of wolves.
That's been kind of a central part of this whole discussion, right? The idea that one standard says once we hit X number of gray wolves, we've got a sustainable population. Another that says, yeah, but as you were just saying, they're not in many of their historical ranges. That seems like it's been a lot of the core of the debate, even among conservationists.
Well, you know, we've seen this go back and forth. This is the fifth time now that wolves have been delisted and relisted. And Wisconsin sort of gets tied into this because we tend to look at this issue from a very local scale. Mm-hmm. But we're really a small part of a big picture of wolf restoration on a national scale. And so we kind of go tugged by the tides of that bigger argument.
Now, this ruling from a judge affects different states differently, if I'm reading it right, Peter. So for some Rocky Mountain states with more established populations, there is leeway for hunting, but not here in the Great Lakes area.
That's right. That Northern Rocky Mountain population was carved out really by congressional action. And so this ruling by the judge didn't change their status. But the ruling that went into effect, the delisting that took place about 13 months ago, affected states from Maine to California. And so all of those states, again, are reverting back to the status that they had prior to being delisted. So in Wisconsin, from a practical purpose, that means that there will be no hunting or trapping seasons in the state as long as wolves remain under the Endangered Species Act. Also in Wisconsin and Michigan, there will be no lethal control by government agents or by members of the public, except in the instances of legitimate human health and safety situations, which are extremely rare. It is a little bit different in Minnesota because wolves have reverted to a status there of being threatened rather than endangered. Lethal depredation control of wolves in that state will continue to go on as it has for decades.
Now, that's one concern. You said danger to humans in the state. Some dairy farmers in particular, I know, are concerned about livestock depredation. How big a problem is this? What are the concerns if farmers can't, as you say, kill wolves in cases of livestock depredation?
Well, that is an issue that has been a concern to the ag industry for a long time. There are certainly a number of other steps that can be used. There are both non-lethal and preventative actions that can be taken. And it's interesting to compare Wisconsin to Minnesota. Because Wisconsin has been listed as endangered for a long time, there's been many periods of time when only non-lethal control was in effect here, unlike Minnesota. And what's been curious is that it seems like wolf depredations haven't increased in proportion to the wolf population, which seems to be more the case in Minnesota. And it's really hard to be sure what the difference is, but some have suggested that the use of non-lethal in Wisconsin is actually educating wolves how to get along better with people. Whereas in our adjacent state, depredating wolves are simply killed. So no learning takes place, and new naive wolves can move into that same area and perhaps just sort of recreate a cycle of loss.
Peter David is with us, wildlife biologist for the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission, talking about the latest chapter now when it comes to gray wolves here in Wisconsin. A judge ruled that the gray wolf should be on the Endangered Species Act, overturning a Trump administration decision. Now hunting for gray wolves is, under this ruling, off here in Wisconsin. Peter, I know deer hunters are concerned, people who are worried about the deer population are concerned in different ways. Can you talk about the role of gray wolves on the deer in affecting the deer population here in the state?
Yeah, well, this is such a common common topic of discourse, I guess, in the wolf world. You know, because wolves definitely do eat deer. And so many people sort of jump to the conclusion that they have a negative impact on the deer herd. In fact, on any sort of a landscape level, there's very little evidence to suggest that wolves regulate the number of deer on the landscape. And in fact, it's probably the other way around. The number of deer you have determines the number of wolves you can have. We do know that wolves are very selective. Taking a deer is not an easy thing. And so they focus on the sick, the injured, the aged, the weak. And to that role, they really seem to have a critical long-term role in maintaining health, actually, in the deer herd. And in Wisconsin, where we have a tremendous issue, for example, with chronic wasting disease, there's good reason to think that wolves might actually be one of the most effective tools we have to control that disease. So when you place wolves in this bigger landscape and you look at all of the other things that affect deer populations on the landscape, human harvest, weather, vehicle accidents, other predators, it's really clear that wolves are not driving the deer population. And in fact, really do help maintain its health when you especially look at this in the long term.
As I mentioned, Peter, we didn't have that fall hunt. That's that was kind of in limbo for a while there. We had that hunt last year, February. The hunt exceeded the intended quota by quite a bit, killed a lot more wolves than planned. Are we starting to see how that has affected the overall population of wolves in the state now?
You know, we really haven't yet, but hopefully within a few months we will. That hunt was unlike any wolf hunt really anywhere in history by being nestled entirely within the wolves' brief breeding season. And so the impact of taking a wolf at that time of the year is really more impactful than at any other time. And we don't know. We don't have any precursor, I guess, to suggest what those impacts will be. But we know that certainly pregnant wolves were taken. And even taking males or other pack members can be important because it affects the recruitment of the pups into that population. But this is the time of year right now that population data is being gathered. That will continue for a couple of more months. And once that's all compiled, we'll have, again, a first idea of what the impact of that February season was actually on the population.
Were we unique here in Wisconsin as far as Great Lakes states having gray wolf hunts over the last couple of years?
Yeah, it's very interesting. Both of our adjacent states that we share this population with did not jump into having a season. The discretion for that season was left to the State Department of Natural Resources, unlike the case in Wisconsin. And I will add that the Wisconsin DNR was not promoting that February season, but was pushed into it by the lawsuit that took place. In the other two states, I think we're seeing a very measured response to the delisting that took place. They talked to the tribes in those states. They talked to their stakeholders and the public. They conducted social surveys, and they're developing updates to their management plans, as Wisconsin is, to figure out really the best path forward. It's pretty clear we're not doing a great job oftentimes post-delisting, and hopefully we can find a better way to go forward, unlike that what really happened in February here in Wisconsin.
Now, I think everybody's who's been following this issue is used to this sort of, you know, watching the tennis ball bounce back and forth. This is a court ruling. What are you watching for next, Peter, to see if this stands?
Well, that's a good question. I think the first thing will really be is how will the Fish and Wildlife Service respond to this? My understanding is they had 60 days from the rule to decide whether they want to appeal or not. I'm not privy to where they are in that decision. Mm-hmm. I'll be a little bit surprised if they would appeal it. But that'll be certainly the first thing everyone will be watching to see what happens.
And I've seen some talk of maybe Midwest lawmakers, and there's some bipartisan support for this idea, I think, Peter, of saying, hey, let's advance legislation and get a carve out like they have in those northern Rocky Mountain states. Actually, Congress passing a law to say the wolf population is established enough in the Midwest. We're going to take away the power from the Fish and Wildlife Service on this one. Is that something you expect to see an effort on?
Well, I certainly hope not. That's in my personal mind, just a bad way of regulating wildlife. It really is an effort to undercut the power of the Endangered Species Act, which is one of the most important tools we have to protect species that are threatened. And if you're going to do it for wolves, there's really no saying where that type of an approach might end. And so that's a big concern, I think, that goes well beyond the range of wolves. And certainly I'll say the last delisting, you know, it was interesting. There were several states that were included amongst people opposed to the delisting that took place. And so I think the public at large has actually come a long way into being supportive of having healthy and robust and ecologically functional wolf populations on the landscape. And it's really taking, I think, in some cases, the Department of Natural Resources and certainly the legislatures in those states to sort of catch up to the desires of the public.
Peter, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you so much. Take care, and we'll talk again someday.
All right. Peter David is a wildlife biologist for the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission. He was with us today talking about federal protections for gray wolves and what it means here in Wisconsin.